Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast and Radio Show on Radio MD, wherever you download us from. Thank you very much for doing that. This is 1207B. The Bs are always wonderful guests, and we have one for you today. Patrick Porter is an award-winning scientist who's devoted his career to researching the brain, mental wellness, cognitive function, and he lives near the beach in North Carolina. We're going to talk about rewiring the anxious brain, the science of stress, and how to improve mental health. The website you can reach him at is BrainTap, BrainTap.com. We, of course, are brought to you by Life's First Naturals, the makers of both Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum. Two things you can look at: their website, LifeFirstNaturals.com, and see the randomized double-blind controlled studies, the gold standard of studies, that show why each, the Truebiotics and the Bovine Colostrum, are things that you might consider taking if you're over the age of 50 for certain, and for women at all ages after about 20. That's Bovine Colostrum and Truebiotics. You can go again to their website, LifesFirstNaturals.com. And of course, LongevityPlaybook.com, LongevityPlaybook.com, where you can sign up for the free newsletter, Tip of the Week. The 250-word Tip of the Week is always accompanied by a cartoon that at least makes me laugh, because although I help write the Tip of the Week, I never know what they're going to use for the cartoon. That's different, of course, than our books. On the U-Books, we always recruited the cartoonist, a great cartoonist, Gary Hallgren. My hat's off to Gary. He is the cartoonist for, I'm not even allowed, I don't think, to tell you what he is the cartoonist of now, other than it's a daily comic that was done by someone else. He, of course, while we were working for him, was the lead cartoonist and editor-in-chief of Mad Magazine. So we had to always control him. And that's why the cartoons in the U-Books are so much fun. But these cartoons now on LongevityPlaybook.com on their Tip of the Week are also fun. Let's get back to something that where fun is a benefit. And I think, Dr. Porter, you'll agree that fun helps mitigate stress, I'll bet.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oxytocin and all the other neurochemicals that happen when you're having fun are great for the brain, great for the body, and help to reduce and minimize stress, actually inoculate you against stress.
So I like the word inoculate you against stress. So if you're having fun with friends, what we call posse, and maybe working in your passion, which mine is helping people live younger for longer, you can keep stress away. But stress is one of the is the major cause, I guess you'd say, of brain aging and memory loss. Is that right?
That's right, because it actually triggers the sugar response in the liver. You know, the liver dumps 25 grams of sugar, and sugar is the worst thing you can put into your body for your brain. Most people don't realize it's not always what you're eating, but what's eating you. So if we can minimize or reduce that trigger of releasing, your liver's always sitting there with 25 grams of sugar just in case a saber-toothed tiger comes up from around the corner. But we don't have those anymore, so we have cell phones and other triggers that trigger people into that stress response, and the liver then produces that 25 grams of sugar. We can only have 1 gram circulating through the bloodstream. So the liver and the brain are very uniquely tied together in how the biology and psychology works.
Now, why does sugar increase brain dysfunction? Is it because it feeds inflammation, or is there something else?
That's part of it. And also, the sugar in its raw form is terrible because it's not glucose. You know, the brain needs ketones, really, and it's made of fat. So we need to really feed our body water and fat, the essential fats, to get our brain working correctly. And when we're under stress, unfortunately, it also causes a restriction of blood vessels. So we don't have blood flow and circulation. So we don't have nitric oxide release, which happens naturally. Like when you said you're having fun, when people are singing and playing, they have a little bit different attitude, and the body actually responds differently at that time and creates more of this neurotropic factors that causes us to regulate in a different way that's more positive for our immune system as well as for our body.
Now, I love coffee, and coffee's supposed to be good for the brain, but it also releases a little sugar from the liver. Is it the fact that it doesn't release very much is why, or is it other properties that make coffee good in spite of its releasing a little sugar?
Well, I would say coffee is good after you're up for about 2 hours. If you drink coffee before that time, you actually disrupt something called the cortisol trough. And you probably notice around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you have a biological low. Your temperature drops 2 degrees at that time, mainly because your body is resetting. When you drink coffee first thing in the morning, it disrupts the cortisol trough. So you really need to wait about 2 to 3 hours before you wake up to have the coffee. I love coffee too, but coffee right first thing in the morning will produce its own norepinephrine, cortisol, and dopamine, which we want our brain to do. Our brain is the most powerful pharmacy on earth, so we want to trigger it with our brain. And then the body can buffer that a little later in the day.
So how does one trigger that with your brain when you wake up?
Well, you can do it through breathing, through psychological breathing, which is like you breathe in a deep breath through the nose and exhale out an exasperated breath through the mouth. There's also one called breath of fire. These are all breathing techniques that trigger this. Of course, with our brain tap technology, we have brainwave entrainment using light, sound, and vibration that does this. We need to trigger a brainwave actually called SMR in the morning. That's the one, as we get better looking and more intelligent with age, that's the one that actually atrophies. So like when we did our dementia study.
So wait a second, this is, go over that again. SMR is what you want to trigger. And what does SMR stand for?
Sensory motor rhythm. So when you think about your vestibular system or your balance, a lot of people think that has to do with muscles. Your muscles do nothing without the brain. So it's a brain frequency. So think of all the brainwave frequencies as Wi-Fi networks telling the body what to do. If you don't have SMR, which is just on the cusp of being awake, which is called beta, and being in daydreaming, which is alpha, between those two, there's a brainwave pattern called SMR. And as we age, unfortunately, that's the one that atrophies. So if we can increase that, we find that dementia goes away, autism goes away. This is the brainwave that's causing a lot of problems right now because stress dampens that brainwave frequency.
Now, tell us how BrainTap works to help with the SMR frequency. One of the ways is obviously you have things in there that must help people modify stress. Is that right?
Every cell of your body has something called a mirror neuron. So it's always evaluating the environment. And that is actually upregulating or downregulating our genetics. They now know that that 99% that they call junk DNA is now changing every 40 seconds based on something called biophotonic exchange. This is the light emissions from our mitochondria. So this mirror neuron is basically on patrol all the time. So if we can present light, sound, and vibration in the form of a headset, that's what BrainTap does. The brain actually models that. Just like a mirror, look in the mirror and you see yourself reflected back into it. These cells reflect back the frequency. To give you an idea, if you and I were sitting by the ocean and the ocean is out there, you know, just doing its thing, it's actually resonating at 10 hertz frequency. And our body, being made of water, would resonate to that frequency, and we would start to create alpha, which would create acetylcholine, which would make us feel good. So a lot of people go, I love the ocean. Well, yeah, because your neurochemicals are bathing in the most positive, most productive neurochemicals because you're generating more alpha brainwave activity when you're around that body of water. When you're around the mountains, for instance, 7.8 hertz frequency, you're generating more GABA. So if you've ever heard anybody say, hey, I had a mountaintop experience, they're metaphorically speaking, but really GABA is a precursor to something called DMT, which is really found prevalent in master meditators or people that have these spiritual experiences. So when we say we have a mountaintop experience, we're actually talking about the neurochemical GABA triggering DMT production.
You mentioned a little bit about the epigenes and changing frequently. When Yamanaka took the mice and turned them back from the equivalent of 80 years old to the equivalent of 40 years old. And now that's been repeated in 6 other labs. But when he did that, he said the mice had a strange look as they went through that. Was that kind of a mountaintop experience the mice were having, or do we know anything about that?
Sure. I mean, we're learning more and more about cells, in fact, and how frequencies change that. When he changed that, whatever he did to change their cellular memory, the body actually returned back to its normal state. There's a lot of evidence that shows that our cells shouldn't die. If we could get rid of the traumas and the toxins in the cells, they should be able to live forever. But unfortunately, we have trauma and we have toxins in our environment, so we're not able to clean them out and get them functioning correctly.
So tell me about your daily routine. I think it incorporates a wake up, an afternoon reboot, and a go to sleep session. Tell us about that.
Yeah, a lot of people meditate, but they don't realize the brain, when we say brain fitness, it's not the same as meditating, because in meditation, people usually go to the same state. In the morning, we need to upregulate our brain function. We call it digital coffee, because what it does, it gives you the same effect as a cup of coffee, but it's triggering the brain waves. That's the SMR. It's only about 10 minutes long. You shouldn't need a cup of coffee when you wake up in the morning. You just slept all night long. So we want to energize the body. Now, at 10 o'clock, if you want your coffee, you go ahead and have it at that time.
Now, does that mean your wake-up routine is done at 10 a.m. because you don't want to decrease the what you call the cortisol change?
You can get up at whatever time. I mean, most people will get up earlier than that, actually, to do their morning routine and get back to business. I usually say 2 to 3 hours after awakening is an okay time to have your coffee, and you won't mess up that cortisol trough. We just want to get our brain to be regulating. Our brain is an energy hog. So if we do something like biologics, like coffee, then the brain will stop producing its own norepinephrine, dopamine, and cortisol. And then we become dependent. If you've ever known anybody that's super dependent on coffee and they don't have their coffee, they walk like a robot to the coffee maker. And if they're out of coffee, they're in trouble. You know, so we need to have our brain regulating that. And coffee becomes just a boost that gives us that boost that we need.
And tell me what you do in the afternoon. What's your afternoon reboot?
What we found was with our study with Julia R, with our peak performance study, was if we could give somebody a 20-minute break in the middle of the day where we do a theta reboot, which is theta is on the threshold of sleep. It's a brainwave that most people only experience while they're going to sleep or waking up. It's a state of what we call inventiveness, but it also, you get this massive recharge. And so we do this 20-minute session in the middle of the day that reboots the system. Think of it like the old IBM computers. When you have a problem, you just reboot it, you know, and then it resets everything. And what we found was that when people did a 20-minute break in the middle of the day, these were the top performers at Google and Microsoft. They actually produced 26% more work by taking a 20-minute break. So when people get to that point in the afternoon where they're stressed out and they feel like they're working really hard, but they're really not doing a lot of work, that's what the reboot is for.
And you say there's a evening go to sleep session. What's that?
Yeah, a lot of people, nobody's really trained to go to sleep. When we're kids, of course, we can just close our eyes, fall asleep playing with blocks on the floor or whatever. But as we get older, we start to disrupt the sleep pattern, and sleep is where we incubate our superpowers. So what we've done is we've created a series of sessions that actually train the brain and drops them off into deep level 4 sleep. And the reason that's important is that level 4 sleep is the only time the glia lymphatic system opens up and detoxes the brain. So if you really want to detox the brain and de-stress the brain, those two are hand in hand. So if we can get the toxins out of the brain, deep sleep is the main thing. And they say if we don't sleep well 3 nights in a row, it's as if we've drank 2 beers and we're running around during the day. So sleep is key. And it's not amount of time in bed. Our sleep study we did in Australia showed that coal miners were in bed for 10 hours a night, but they only got 1 minute of deep sleep. That means they weren't efficiently sleeping. They were laying in bed, but they weren't sleeping. Studies show for longevity, 6.5 hours to 7 hours is optimal, but you need 1 hour of deep sleep and 2 hours of REM sleep. And what we find is when you accelerate that first cycle of sleep by using light, sound, and vibration, the brain tap system, what happens is you've accelerated your ability to reach deep sleep. That's the number one thing that we do, is help people sleep better. And with 2/3 of the world not sleeping, that's a key component to health and longevity.
We've been talking with Patrick Porter. He's an award-winning scientist who's devoted his career to researching the brain, mental wellness, and cognitive function. He's the founder of BrainTap.com. You can go to BrainTap.com to find out much more about what he said and more about BrainTap. This has been 1207B. The B's are always great guests, and we've been lucky enough to have many, including Patrick. We're brought to you, as usual, by LongevityPlaybook.com. Go to their website. longevityplaybook.com and sign up for the free newsletter. Coming up next week is a newsletter on why your BFF may be vitamin E. And there's, of course, a wonderful cartoon. Well, I helped to write the newsletter. I don't know what the cartoon will be, so it's sure to surprise me and enjoy it. I hope you will, too. The other sponsor is TrueBiotics and Bovine Colostrum, both products of LifesFirstNaturals.com, LifesFirstNaturals.com. And you can go to their website, find the randomized double-blind controlled trials showing you why, for most people over the age of 45, these should be very considered by you, especially for bovine colostrum if you exercise hard or take non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. That means even aspirin or baby aspirin, it prevents a lot of the complications in their randomized double-blind trials, including for those of you who exercise hard. Great news, we will continue. And next week, 1208, both A and B. Hope you download both of ours. The A's are always the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. One of the stories next week is about little fishies and why they're important and decrease your risk of all-cause mortality very substantially, as well as of brain dysfunction. They may even be something that helps brain tap work better. I don't know that because I don't know that study has been done. In any case, thank you for downloading us. 50,000 of you a week can't be wrong. I really appreciate it. Do tell your friends about us and do download the A segments. They're always wonderful segments. Thank you, Dr. Porter, of course, for being our guest. And go to braintap.com to find out more about his work and what we talked about today. Thanks again. See you next week on the podcast.